Have y'all noticed that Jeff has a story for everything? You know, it doesn't matter what the subject is, you know, he's got a story for it. So I figure if I need a good story to go in one of my messages, I'll just say, Jeff, what do I need to say here? Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans, the 6th chapter. I believe it's on the screen. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. The title of today's lesson, the title of today's message, is The Anchor Holds. Okay, Hebrews, did I say Romans?
It's all right. It's
Hebrews. Yeah. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Did you notice God begins by saying, I've given you a promise, but I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to confirm it by an oath. And since I can't swear by anyone higher than me, I'll swear by myself, by God, that what I'm going to tell you is true and you need to hear it. So I believe God wants us to get this. And the central thing that he wants us to get from this is that the anchor holds. And we'll see exactly how that fits into Scripture and into our lives as we go along. You know, there's some great songs about the anchor and about it holding in the midst of the storms of life. The song with that title, a friend of mine sang it at my ordination, so it's a special song to me. And then lately, In the Eye of the Storm by Zach Williams. Boy, it's just been playing in my mind and in my heart. If my voice had been good this morning, I would have sung that for you. But I love that song. But if you get a chance, pull it up on YouTube or iTunes or whatever and listen to it. Well, when you think of your life, when you think back over your life, I think life can be described as a series of storms. How about you? They come and they go. It's not always been smooth sailing, has it? In fact, Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. There's going to be problems that come into the life of a believer. And I know there's a form of preaching, a so-called gospel out there that ties obedience to the message and to the word. It ties it to how well you do in health and in finances and in all these different things. Well, that's completely contrary to the Word of God. It's called the prosperity gospel, and that's not in the book. It's God who chooses to bless and God who chooses not to. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, you may have walked in this morning, and you may have shook hands and smiled at someone, and they said, how are you doing? You said, good, doing just really good. But on the inside, a storm is raging. People don't know what you're going through, what you're dealing with, what you're really thinking about. And the storm is raging. So others have gone through a storm, and it's been difficult in your life. Well, the writer of Hebrews pictures us in this old world as a ship on a stormy sea. And as we sail this sea of life, we encounter many storms. They come in all sizes and all durations and in all intensities, but we all face storms. Someone has said that you're either headed into a storm, you're in the midst of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Does that sound familiar? It does in my life. That seems to be the pattern of life. Well, as we sail this sea of life, we encounter many storms. And we're going to look at some of those this morning. But the thing I want you to see is this. Since storms are an inevitable part of our lives, since we're all going to face them, we have faced them, and we will face them again, then it's important that we be anchored to something or to someone. And it's important that that anchor holds in spite of the storm. Well, according to verse 19, what is our anchor? Look at it. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have, I'd underline that, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. Our hope, our faith is our anchor. It is our anchor. Well, if the storms come, they're coming, then we need to think about to what or to who do we anchor our lives? What's our hope in? What are we depending on, trusting in? Some have anchored their lives to earthly relationships. And no matter how good the relationship might be, even between husband and wife, that can be separated. I've experienced that in losing Kathy. You can't anchor your soul in any human being, in any church, in any denomination, in any religion. Some have anchored their souls to education and financial achievement and success in the workplace and popularity and all these things. Some have anchored their souls to. But you know, sometimes this great storm comes. And that anchor seemed to be holding until this great, great storm came and the anchor pulled loose. So I encourage you, I plead with you this morning to anchor your soul, anchor your everything to Jesus. And no matter how intense the storm, no matter how fierce the winds may blow, your anchor will hold in spite of the storm. How do you first do that? Well, by placing your faith in Christ. That's the first step. Have you done that? Are you sure you're anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure. I remember the moment I was saved. I don't know about you, but I don't hardly see how you could experience that and not remember that. But I remember it. I was just a little 9-year-old boy. And I remember it was on a Sunday night at Holly Springs Baptist Church. That was our home church. And I don't remember anything about the message. I guess I remember the man that was preaching. He was our pastor at that time. I guess it was him. But I don't remember anything except when the invitation started, I felt this wooing and drawing to the Lord. I knew as a little 9-year-old boy that I needed Jesus and needed Him desperately. I needed to be saved. And so I remember kind of punching Daddy in the side, he was in my way to get out, you know, and I said, Daddy, I got to go. And he knew what I was talking about because he didn't let me go to the restroom during church. You know, he knew I wasn't asking for that. So he stepped away and I stepped, and listen, when I stepped out into that aisle, hear me, when I stepped out into that aisle, the Son of God stepped into my heart, stepped right out of heaven and into my heart before I even got to the altar. But I know I was saved that night. I remember the joy that filled my soul and the joy that filled the church's soul. I can remember this one lady, she picked me up and twirled me around. You know, she was so happy. And that's when I anchored my soul to Jesus. And the anchor has held ever since. Listen, my anchor is, I'm anchored to the one that is in heaven now. He's on the throne now, right? At the right hand of the Father is my Savior. He's entered the presence behind the veil, into the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God, because what? He is God. And He's with the Father. And I'm anchored to Him. Think about your hope, your faith as being like the chain on an anchor, reaching from right here all the way to heaven. And you're anchored in Jesus. Well, because I'm anchored to Him, because He's entered into heaven is what? My forerunner. Did you see that in verse 20? My forerunner. Oh, listen, folks. That means that others will follow. Jesus entered in first for us. Amen? He rose and He entered into heaven. But listen, others will follow, the Word of God says. That means that means me as that little 9-year-old boy. I followed that 9. If you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, you followed that 9. You followed just then. You say, well, I'm not in heaven right now. Yeah, but you're anchored there, and you will be there one day. There is no doubt about it. If you're worried about, have I done something that might cause me to lose my salvation, listen, He has power to save you. He has power to keep you, and that anchor will hold no matter how fierce the storm may be. You know, I was thinking about storms, and sometimes we sell our own self into the storm, don't we? By the decisions we make. You know, if we would have just followed the instructions that God lays out for us in His Word, if we'd have just prayed about it and asked Him about it, you know, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, James said, and He'll give it to you. If we'd have just maybe sought the wise counsel of others, and then if we'd have been obedient, we would have never gone through that storm. Never. But there are other storms. You can't avoid them. They lie directly ahead of you on the course of life, or they come at you from the side unexpectedly, and you're hit by this great storm. What do you do? Listen, listen. Some people don't make it. Some people do not make it. The storms of life come, and they are eventually shipwrecked by that terrible storm. They never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe that they went through their whole life thinking, boy, this is smooth sailing, this life. And then death comes, that great storm. And listen, it will sweep them not only out of this world, but it will sweep them into the lake of fire where they will exist forever and ever and ever. Oh, my friend, I'm thankful I don't have to worry about that storm. I don't have to worry about that storm overtaking me because I'm safe and I'm anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. So death for me, the old gospel song, it ain't no big deal. You know, I mean, really, because listen, that's just a promotion, right? It's just a promotion to heaven. My uncle, he and my dad were in the men's Bible study class in the church. That was key for the old men's class. And I don't know about y'all, but we used to have what they call promotion Sunday. In other words, you know, if you were in the primaries, you got promoted up to the junior boys and then on up to the intermediates. And my uncle said, well, he said, the next time I get promoted, it'll be to heaven. And that's the way we ought to look at death. It's just a promotion. Amen, child of God. It's a promotion, and it could come at any moment. But what about Christians? Think about it. We've all known Christians. We really believe they were saved. I mean, as much as we can know, we know they were saved. But this one great storm comes along. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe it's some great financial loss. Maybe it's a moral fall. But the anchor didn't seem to hold. It seemed to pull loose. They fall into depression. Maybe their marriage fails. Maybe they stop coming to church. How many of you have known Christians who they were here every Sunday, you know, until this great storm came along and they didn't come back? They don't come. They don't come anymore. The anchor seemed not to hold. And listen, they lost some of that precious cargo. You know, they lost their peace and their joy along the way, but now they lost their victory. It went overboard during the storm. And we lose, that person loses so much of what Jesus would have you to experience in that abundant life that He has for us. Jesus said that I came that they might have life, and what? That they might have it more abundantly. And a lot of Christians miss out on that abundant life. You see, you say, whose fault is that? Well, it's not the fault of the one they anchored their soul to when they got saved. It's the fault of that person for not in the midst of that particular storm, the fierceness of that storm, they didn't do what the writer of Hebrews instructs us to do. They didn't lay hold of the hope set before them. Listen, if you're in some great storm and you are a Christian, what do you need to do first and foremost? You reach out by faith and lay hold of the chain that you're anchored to Jesus in that particular storm, in that particular situation, and you trust Him. And it may be fierce, it may be difficult, but I guarantee you the anchor will hold if you hold on to Jesus in that storm. Now, ultimately, He's going to hold on to you. We talked about, we know we're going to heaven, but man, the storms of life can get rough. And if we don't handle them properly, if we don't take them to the Lord and trust in the Lord, you know what trust is? Trust is having faith in Him when I don't understand. I don't see the good that could possibly come out of it. I don't even understand how that's possible. Listen, when the Lord took my sweet Kathy home to be with Him, I didn't understand it. She was young. For our age, she was young. We had a wonderful life together. We were serving the Lord together. And I couldn't understand, you know, why. But listen, I continued to trust Him. Why did I trust Him? Because He's good. I don't care what it looks like, He's good. He's good. He's always good. And I could trust Him that He was at work for good in that, even that, though I couldn't see it. And I could trust Him. Why? Because He loves me. Oh, child of God, if no one's mentioned it to you lately, God Almighty, the sovereign God of this universe, loves you. He knows your name, and He loves you. And if you ever doubt that God loves you, you just look to Calvary. You just look at an old rugged cross where He suffered and bled and died, not for anything He'd done, but for what you've done, for what I've done. That's a demonstration of love. And so, surely I can trust this God that I know is good and that I know that loves me and I know I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Surely I can trust Him even if I don't understand. That's trust. Having faith in God, when you don't have the answers, you trust that He's going to work it all for good one day into His glory. Well, there are all kinds of afflictions that we sell ourselves into, or they overcome us, and we don't realize they were even coming. Many of you, I know, you've sailed through the storms of affliction, you know, maybe sickness or something like that. It's been a terrible storm. It swept into your life, and if you were honest, you felt like you were going to drown in that stormy sea. You just felt like the waves were coming over the top of you and you couldn't handle it. In 1972, a great storm blew into my life. It's called polymyositis. You said, what's that? I'd never heard of it either. It's a rare muscle disease. An autoimmune disease. And I started noticing that I was getting weaker. First thing I ever noticed was it was pouring down rain when I got home, and I jumped out of the car to run to the house, and it just didn't feel right. Well, long story short, through muscle biopsy and whatever, they determined that it was polymyositis. And the doctor said, well, you know, it could have been a lot worse. He said, most people that get this, it burns out within a few years, and you recover and gain strength. A few people don't. But more do than don't. So I felt pretty optimistic that I'd be one of those. I wasn't. And it's been a ferocious storm, I'm telling you. It almost took my life one time. I mean, I was bleeding internally, and I took 11 units of blood. That's like it doing a blood exchange on your body. It takes all the blood you have. And I lost that much there. From the medication I was taking, the prednisone, it just thinned my bowel so much that it was just oozing out. And the doctors couldn't figure out where it's coming from. And I remember the nurse coming in one night, and she said, you can't go through another morning like this. We're calling in our best surgeon, and he's going to do surgery, emergency surgery on you tomorrow down at Emory. And so I figured this is really serious, you know. And just what I guess I was 18, 19, something like that. And that evening, my hospital room was just lined with people, just all around the wall. You know why they were there? They wanted to see me before it was their last chance. They wanted to take advantage of seeing me before I went home to heaven. And but you know, I was just 19. Do you think I was afraid? No. I wasn't worried. Why? I was trusting in Him. And when I rolled through those operating doors, I had a peace about me. It was a peace that passes all understanding. Because I knew that if the Lord took me home, it was just a promotion. I was going to go be with the Son of God. And I wouldn't be weak anymore. So that was a big plus. And then I knew if the Lord left me here, He left me here for a purpose. And I've seen Him fulfill that purpose in my life, and I'm thankful. Oh, had I rather not had the disease? Had I rather that not been a storm in my life? Sure. And I asked Him to heal me, but it wasn't His will to do so. 3 months I stayed at Emory, flat on my back. I'd had compression fractures in my back also, couldn't get up, couldn't walk. But I battled back. The bleeding stopped, I want you to hear me, in the operating room. They give me 11 units of blood, and I didn't take a drop of blood in the operating room. What's the answer to that? God stopped it. And no other answer. And though it was a long battle back, I could hold on because I was holding on to Jesus. And I did the rehab, and I got stronger, and I began to grow stronger. Really, it's the most strength I've gained since I had the disease. I thought it was gone. I mean, it was just wonderful. As you see, it wasn't gone. But the Lord called me to preach. 1977 called me to preach the gospel. And right after that, I preached. You know, that's the way our pastor was. And deacons, they said, you're called to preach. You're going to preach next Sunday night. And I said, all right, I'll do it. And, you know, don't you need to go to seminary? Well, not to preach. Don't you need to have a little experience? Well, not to preach if He's called you. So I preached that night, and I remember it's a Sunday night. You know, your crowd's always small on Sunday night. That night it was packed out, and I wasn't expecting that. It was packed out with friends and family and people I loved and others. And I remember when I preached, while I was preaching and after the invitation, Jeff, I thought to myself, wow, that's what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life is preach the gospel. And that's what I've been doing. I went back to college, and got my degree in education, started teaching, but I was starting to grow weak again. And this is what the devil told me. He said, David, you know those three things that mean the most to you? That was to be healed, to have a good Christian wife, and to pastor. He said, you'll never have any of those. You think some nice Christian lady's going to want you? And especially since you want a real pretty Christian lady to want you, forget it. You're going to pastor. A church is going to call you to pastor when you got weak legs and it takes you a long time to walk wherever you're going. It's not going to happen. And you're not going to be healed anyway because look at the time that's passed. And that's what he kept whispering and kept whispering and kept whispering. But on November 13th, 1993, God gave me what the devil told me I could never have. He gave me a Christian wife, a wonderful Christian wife. And we had a wonderful life and ministry together. And then on, I think it was the first Sunday in October, 1997, I preached my first message at the church that had called me to be their pastor. And God didn't just mediocrely bless there. I mean, 1 year we led the association, this association, in numbers of baptisms per resident member. And 1 year we were the top 10% in baptisms in the SBC by percentage. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to look what a liar the devil is. Told me I couldn't do it. Well, he was right about that. I couldn't do it. But he did it through me. And God bless, it was a great, great time that Kathy and I had there. But storms, they continued to blow. And after 6 years, one blew into the church that I wasn't expecting. And Kathy and I decided it was best that we leave. And we did. And we moved to Florida for a couple of years because we lived right across the road from the church. And it had been difficult, especially for her. And our friends had moved with the kids. They're like our kids. They'd moved down there. So we followed them. We went down there. And it was a good time for Kathy. I'm thankful that we went. But I remember something I had to do. And you may have to do that this morning for some reason or some purpose. I had to forgive. I had to forgive those that I felt had wronged me. And listen, not only that, I wanted to forgive. Because listen, you know the only one enslaved by not forgiving? It's you. You're the only one you're hurting. It's you. And so I said, Lord, I want to forgive, but don't know how to forgive. But I remember one Wednesday night, I was at church, and all of a sudden, I just knew. I had forgiven them. And that was a great peace that came into my life. So I was able to say to this one lady who called to ask my forgiveness for what had happened, I said, I don't have to forgive you. I said, I've already done it. You're forgiven. And that's, again, all praise to Jesus. I wouldn't have done that. I'd have probably gave her a piece of my mind if it'd been me. But no, I said that to her. And later on, I've seen Kathy hug her and tell her she loved her. That's the Lord. That's Jesus. That's the one we anchored ourselves to. Well, that was a great storm when we left the church. But we began to be called into evangelism then to preach the gospel. And I didn't know how I was going to do that because I walked so slow. Getting in and out of the trooper took a little while, and I didn't know how. And then I preached a great revival in South Georgia. And that night that the revival ended, I was getting in bed, and I fell and broke my leg. I mean, I heard it pop, and I felt the pain, and I thought, oh, no, I'll never walk again, because I knew how close I was to not being able to walk. And so, long story short, I had to go to surgery, had to have the tibia was broken really badly. They put a rod in and screws and nails and all of that, and they said, you got to go to rehab, to a rehab facility. And Kathy said, oh, no, can't we do that at home? And he said, no, he's got to have it. So they rolled me in there, and they called it rehab. But it looked like a nursing home to me. And I thought, this is not where I belong, but it's where I had to be. And lying there in that bed, you know, unable to get out of bed, unable to walk, I just thought, how do I deal with this, Lord? And a good friend of mine called, and he shared a psalm with me that's really I've held on to since that day. And I think it's Psalm 61. But it's 61, the whole psalm. But he said, hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I will call to you. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. You see, David, he had been confronted with that time in his life where he was in a place he never thought he'd be. His own son, Absalom, had taken over the kingdom and was trying to kill his daddy. To kill David. And so David cries out. Well, I cried out from my ends of the earth, Jacksonville, Florida. And the Lord helped us get through that storm. Just as surely as I'm sitting here right now. Though it was difficult, though it was hard. Just kind of pulled me up and sheltered me under his wings during that time. And I worked hard. In fact, my physical therapist, he was a short Filipino guy, and he was working with me, and some of the other people in the rehab wasn't working very hard. He said, look at Mr. Roper. He worked hard. He worked very hard. And I did. I gave it everything I had, but I didn't get the walking back. The storm kept raging in that sense. And then called to preach, called to be an evangelist. How do we do evangelism? I can't drive anymore. I can't walk anymore. How do we do that, Lord? Well, the Lord made a way. Because out of that bed, the Lord gave us a van. And I'm talking really about giving us a van that had a ramp that lowered and I could get in and out of. And so Kathy and I started our evangelism. And we used to worry about how do we get there, how do I get unloaded, how do I get... Didn't have to worry about that. Just press a button. The hotel room was handicap equipped, so I could do that. And I started getting invitations to do revivals. And listen, we did one revival in Odessa, Texas. If you know anything about that, that's on the other side of Texas. You're almost in New Mexico. And you get on I-20 out of Atlanta, and that's all you do. You get on I-20, and it takes you there. And it got a little boring on the way out. But anyway, Kathy drove us. She did great. And we, the Lord used us in evangelism. See, he brought what? Good out of bad. I was thinking it was all bad because how was I going to do it even? And God provided a way. He provided a way. And so we did evangelism. So the anchor held. And then, December the 1st, 2001, the greatest storm that's ever come into my life blew in. Kathy had gotten sick and right around Thanksgiving, and we thought she'd just be right back home. She told him, I got to be home to cook dressing. It's Thanksgiving, and I got family coming in, and I'm the one who cooks it. And he said, oh, you'll be home. She had fallen and broke her shoulder, but he said, we didn't have to put it in the cast. But what we didn't realize, she'd also fractured her back. And she was in excruciating pain after she was home. And they said, she ought not be having that pain there. And so one day it got so bad, I said, honey, I'm going to take you to the emergency room. You can't endure this anymore. And we took her. And come to find out, she'd also fractured her spine when she fell. And we didn't know why she was falling. And in the blood work, they saw that she had some kind of blood infection. And they said, well, we need to put you in the hospital and give you IV antibiotics, and you should be fine. It's a infection that's easily treated with IV biotics, and you'll be okay. But she just got worse. It got worse. Man, the storm got worse. It raged worse. Listen, she was the most precious gift that God has ever given to me outside of himself and salvation. Most precious gift. And it looked like I might lose her, and oh, how that storm blew. And then we go to ICU because they have to put her on a respirator in order to treat her properly. She became so disturbed, you know, out of her head. And so we did that. And I'd sit in that rehab, ICU. Boy, I'm telling you, age is getting me. ICU, I'd go there, you know, COVID was just ending. And I was just blessed that they let me be there. And I would go from the moment you could get there of a morning, and I would stay until you left. I think that was 8 to 9 every night, right there by our side. And I thought of David. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you see, I could just picture, I could just feel, I could just experience my good shepherd, the one I'd anchored my soul to, walking with Kathy and I through that storm. Oh, listen, we were in a dark valley, but amen, he's the lily of the valley. And I saw him in it. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And so he walked right there with us. And then what happened, I didn't want to happen. I remember Kathy's uncle saying, well, if the Lord was going to heal anybody because of prayer, he'd heal Kathy. Because there were so many people. Jess Church was praying. There were people praying all over the world for Kathy. And I knew he had power to heal her. He's Jehovah Rapha. He hadn't changed a bit. But he didn't. It wasn't his choice. Then I knew what Job was talking about. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, I don't know where I could do that or not. I didn't either. And you won't know unless you, and I hope you don't have to, but unless you have to go through that. But he was there. And I knew that same good God that gave her to me. In his wisdom, he took her home. And I knew for her, it was far, far better. No more pain. No more fatigue. No more fear. No more worrying about David. How's he going to make it? No, none of that. It was she was in the presence of Jesus. And I knew she was. And I knew, listen, child of God, I knew I'd see her again. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to know each other, Brother David, in heaven. Oh, yeah. You think we're going to be dumber up there than we are down here? So, yeah, I'll know the lady I was married to. I'll know y'all, and I'll remember your name. If you found out already this morning that I have a tough time remembering names. Won't have a hard time then. I'll be good. I'll remember everyone's name. I'll know everybody. And I'll also know Moses and David and Peter and on and on and on. What a grand reunion day that's going to be. But most of all, I see Jesus, the one I anchored my soul to. And oh, how I will worship him. That song I can only imagine. Do you ever imagine it? I do. What it'll be like and what you'll do. And what listen, I do that. And it's going to be wonderful. I know, and one of it, I'll see her again. Believe you'll let me walk over to her, take her in my arms, hug her tight, and tell her I love her. Hear her tell me she loves me. You say, well, Brother David, there's not going to be marrying and giving in marriage in heaven. I know that. But I'm trusting this God who knows best. It'll still be good. In fact, it'll be better than it ever was. And I don't know. I just really feel like we'll serve and worship the Lord together throughout eternity. But I know we will live eternally. So, what it boils down to is this. And I got a lot more, but I'm going to close. Because I want to get into someone else's storm besides mine. You know the storms that you face. You know the storms that you could face. How do you anchor yourself so that if you face them, you'll have something you depend on, someone you can depend on? Well, you realize that you're a sinner. You're lost. The penalty to pay for that sin is death, eternal separation. And you realize Jesus died for you, and he's the only one that can save you and forgive you and secure your home in heaven. And you just turn from those sins to this wonderful Savior. And you ask him to forgive you and to come into your life and save you, and he will. He'll do that this morning if you've never been saved. You say, well, I'm a senior adult. People think I'm crazy. No, we'd think you was crazy if you didn't do it. Amen. So you need to come. And that anchor will hold. Listen, a great storm's coming. It's called death and hell. And if you fail to trust Christ this side of eternity, that storm's going to sweep you away into that terrible place called hell. I believe hell's real. In fact, Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. It's real. And I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to know and trust. And if you've done that, praise the Lord. I rejoice with you, my brother and my sister. But maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you're going through some great storm. Maybe no one else knows about it. Maybe just a few people know about it. You know, maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a wayward child, a wayward grandchild. And you're worried and you're praying and you're taking it to the Lord. Maybe it's financial problems in this crazy world in which we live. And you just feel like, it's such a great storm. How can I make? Hold on to Jesus. Do what the writer of Hebrews instructs us to do, to lay hold of the hope set before us. In that storm, reach out to Jesus, and he'll hold on to you, and he'll get you through it, and get you through it victoriously. Don't you want to live a life of victory? I mean, there is victory. Victory in Jesus. And I've experienced that victory. And even in your storm, you can experience it too. Well, I want us to stand for a word of prayer. And then, Brother Jeff, you can have a little time of invitation and, and y'all respond, and I'm going to make my way to the back. I might shake a few hands with you if you'll come by and see me. But I've loved being here. Thank you, Jeff, for having me. Would you take the service now, please?